Good morning, and welcome to Kiernan's podcast, episode number 2. Today's date is March 12th, 2012, and I'm recording this on my way home from work. It's now 10 to 8. On a Monday evening, and there's a few things there's one thing in particular I had an idea about that I want to talk about, and that's why I'm going to do this episode of the podcast. For those of you who are new to the podcast, actually, by the time I'm recording this, or at the time it is now, the first episode still hasn't gone live. I've built the website. I've got a WordPress install running. And I just haven't had a chance to write up about the last podcast I did and to post it anywhere. So I still have to do that. But this is the second episode, as I said. This is Tiernan's podcast. My name's Tiernan O'Toole. I'm a software developer from Dublin in Ireland. And I talk about geeky stuff and technical stuff. This is actually second series of the podcast. I started podcasting a couple of years ago as a test. And I can't remember the exact number of podcasts, but it was a good few podcasts I'd done previously. I mentioned that I was driving home. I'm currently sitting in my car on my way home from work, as I said. So any noise and beeps and everything else that you hear is probably from outside. It might actually sound grand. I'm recording this on an iPhone. I've got a set of headphones plugged in. I've got the iPhone headphones plugged in with the built-in microphone. So how well this sounds, I'm not 100% sure. Tell you the truth, I still haven't listened to the first one yet. But anyway, let's get to the main reason for recording this episode of the podcast. Over the last couple of months, I've been thinking of media centers. Specifically the Windows Media Center, but pretty much any personal video recorder media center that will allow you to record multiple channels at a time and basically pull TV out of the air and allow you to record it and to watch it whenever you feel like it and all that sort of stuff. I've been thinking about the ultimate media center. Now, I'm talking something that has a ridiculous amount of TV tuners in it. An awful lot of storage, both high speed, what's the actual terms? You got online, nearline, and offline storage. So you would have very fast online storage. I can't remember where I got those terms. I think it was referring to the cloud. But I refer to these as in storage for storage in a computer. And my thought behind it is that you would have online storage would be extremely fast SAS and SATA disks. So you're talking 10,000 RPM Velociraptors, or 10,000 or 15,000 RPM SAS disks, or even up as far as SSDs, multiple SSDs in some sort of RAID array, maybe. Then you're talking nearline, which would be an awful lot more storage, but not necessarily as fast. So you would be talking, say, 2, 3, 4 terabyte hard drives, multiple 4 terabyte hard drives, I have seen 4 terabyte drives out. I don't know what price they are, but I know they are out there, or at least they were a while back before the floods in Thailand. So what happened after that, I don't know. But you have multiple large SATA drives. So as I said, you're probably talking 3-4 terabyte discs. An awful lot of them, or a good chunk of them, in a RAID array, more secure RAID array. So for your online storage, you may have, say, 4 or 6 10,000 RPM Velociraptors, 600 gig Velociraptors in RAID 10, or RAID 1, or if you're slightly crazy, RAID 0. If you really want speed as opposed to security, you might want to go for RAID 0 on them. Which would be kind of, in the case of a media center, I am talking about media centers, so I am getting somewhere with that. But in the case of a media center, you would be talking, let's say that would be scratch disk, as you're watching something, as you're watching TV, it would buffer the last half an hour of video to the scratch disk. It may use it for recording as well, so if you record something, it will record it to its scratch disk. Once it's finished, it may do some sort of encoding and then push it to the larger nearline storage. It may, I say, because it might record directly to nearline storage. Then you have your offline storage, which would be in the case of TV shows or something that you've recorded. These are things you want to keep. They may be recoded to different formats. It may be TV shows that have been recorded and hasn't been watched in, say, 2 weeks. If you haven't watched it in 2 weeks, it will move it off to even larger storage, even larger but slower storage. So in the case of a media center, it might be a NAS, even though the NAS might have the same 3 or 4 terabyte 7200 RPM SATA disks as the local machine. It may have more of them, and it's on a gigabit or multi-gigabit Ethernet link, and therefore it's not going to be as fast as local nearline storage. You're not going to get 3 gigabits or multiple, or 3 gigabits or 6 gigabits a second as you would with SATA, or multiples of that, but you would get maybe your full gigabit a second over an Ethernet connection. So that's one idea. But the ultimate part of the media center is the sorry about that. Just going through a toll bridge. So the ultimate part that I was thinking of the media center is the idea of massive amounts of TV tuners and recording as much, as many of your favorite channels as possible at any one time. So, in Ireland, we've just gotten digital TV. We don't have an awful lot of digital TV channels. I think there's only 6 or 8 of them at the moment. But there's 6 or 8 digital TV, free-to-air DTV channels in Ireland at the moment. Then you've got the satellite dish. And with satellite, on FreeSat, you have somewhere in the region of 100, maybe 150 TV stations. all the big UK TV stations are available on Freesat, or most of them are available, and as I said, they're all free, hence the name Freesat. And these can be pulled out of the sky with a pretty inexpensive satellite dish, couple of LNBs on your satellite dish, cables to the back of a media center or a recorder of some sort, and that's pretty much it. There's no decoding required. There's no decoder card as such. You can get decoder cards for the pay-per-view TV channels. So if you wanted to record Sky, as an example, Sky being the big satellite company here in the UK and Ireland, they would be the bigger of the lot. If you wanted, say, the sports channels or the movie channels or Discovery Channel or Sky One or something like that. But to tell you the truth, an awful lot of the stuff you'd more than likely want to be recording or watching, I'd say 95-96% of it would be available through the standard Freesat channels. So what I was thinking was, if you could get your hands on enough TV tuners and select maybe the top 16 or 32 TV channels. You might not even have 16 or 32 TV channels you want to record. But if you could select the top 16 or 32 TV channels, and in that case, you'd probably need a minimum of between 20 and 40 TV tuners. And the reason for that would be to give you four that are always available for live TV. So say you're recording, I don't know, as an example, say you're recording Channel 4, E4 and More 4 constantly, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you have two other TV channels or two other satellite feeds, and you might want to record, you might want to watch something on BBC One and record something on BBC Two. Well, with enough spare channels or enough spare tuners, you could actually do that without too much hassle. So you'd want to have, I reckon, a minimum of four spare tuners, and then, as I said, 16, 32 non-spare, constantly in use tuners. Now, you're going to need an awful lot of LNBs hanging off your dish. I think at the moment I've been told you can pick up an 8-way LNB for a Sky dish. You would have to have 4 or 5 of them off a dish, which would mean you may need 4 or 5, you're going to need 4 or 5 of those. You're going to need probably a bigger satellite dish to actually hold 4 or 5 LNBs, or multiple satellite dishes. Each of those LNBs are going to have 8 cables running into wherever your satellite or your media center is going to live. From what I can gather, now it could be wrong here, you could do it with one cable, but from what I've read and what I've heard, for each satellite that you're recording from, or from each channel you're recording from, you need to have a separate LNB or a separate feed from an LNB. So Sky usually install a 4-way LNB on their dishes, which will allow you to record, or which will allow you for 4 feeds. Their Sky Plus box and their Sky HD box would take 2 feeds each, and that will allow you to record a station and watch a station at the same time. So you may get away with just a couple of cables, but as I said, from what I've heard, you need multiple cables. So wherever you're going to install this, there's going to be 32 to, well, 16, 20, 40 large cables running from your satellite dish into wherever your main media center is going to live. But it would give you the ability, if you had a high enough spec machine, you could actually go off, record 16 or 32 channels at a time. Now, when I say a high enough spec machine, I have a feeling you might need multiple machines to do this job properly. You're probably gonna have 4, maybe 8 feeds coming into a single machine at a time. Each machine is just going to record an entire feed, split the channel, or split the shows up as it sees fit based on the TV guide, and it's going to record each of them to a separate hard drive or two separate hard drives, depending on if it's high definition or standard definition, because you're going to need an awful lot of storage for high def, and you're probably going to need an awful lot more disk speed for high definition. So recording multiple TV shows or multiple feeds to a disc is probably a bad idea, so you're probably going to want to split them that way. And then each time a TV show is completed, you're going to copy that to a central server, probably raw, or as raw as possible. That central server is then going to do the magic of, this is the TV show, recode it for watching anywhere in the house, and then maybe do recoding for phones or iPads or something like that. You're also going to need to be able to intercept that main machine. Will probably be intercepting the live TV show as it's being recorded. Yeah, that's going to be a hard one. But basically, you're going to want to be able to, if I'm flicking through the channels and I get to BBC Two, and I realise that halfway through an episode of Top Gear, and I'd actually like to watch it from the beginning, I'd like to be able to go and say, right, go back to the start of that show, and to be able to go back in time, find the beginning of the show, and then start streaming it from wherever it was recorded. And if you're talking, each machine is recording 4 or 8 episodes at a time, or 4 or 8 shows at a time. We say 4 each. You're gonna have 8 machines that you're gonna have to figure out which machine is recording that. Where can I find the live feed of it? Where can I find a recorded feed of that show? And let me start watching it immediately. So this is one of those kind of, it's going to be a fairly complicated and interesting problem to solve, because you're now back to the nearline and the offline and online storage. You're going to have the streaming buffered storage of, this is on now, it's available to watch now, but once this is finished, it has to be dumped to an airline storage. So as I said, Top Gear starts BBC Two on Sunday at 8 o'clock. From 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, the BBC Two tuner is taking data live from the satellite and dumping it to online storage. Once 9 o'clock rolls around and nobody is actually watching it at that stage, it is going to take that dump, and stick it on online or nearline storage and delete it from the online storage because it's now not needed anymore. It's now dumped completely and it's now available to be viewed. Well, it was already available to be viewed while it was being recorded live, but that's another story. And then if it's not watched after a certain amount of time or after you start using a certain amount of space, it will then copy that to the larger nearline or offline storage, which is your big NAS or your big SAN, which will take the storage. It may use more compute power from other machines to then go off and re-encode that for iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, Windows Media Center, well, Xbox 360, I suppose. Recode it to a couple of different formats. You might have it as a WMV file, an X264, a H264 video. You may have it as a Windows streaming, Windows, what's the format called? Adaptive streaming, Windows adaptive streaming. So that if you're out and about and you have your Windows phone with you, you can press a button and watch an episode of Top Gear streaming from your house. And if you're sitting outside Starbucks and you're connected to their Wi-Fi at a decent speed, it will stream in high definition. But once you walk away, it might start lowering the resolution and the bandwidth, so you can continue watching, but you're not getting the full fidelity.
I
suppose it's not the only problem I can see with this idea. It's an idea. I can see this being handier for larger families or larger areas. So my road would go off, all my neighbours on my road might go off and spend money on this idea. Buy enough TV tuners, buy a big satellite dish, buy all the cables and everything else that are required, and then everybody would have the main server power would live somewhere and do the encoding, and or multiple servers. You'd have a server farm, in all fairness. Do the encoding, do the recording, do everything else that's required, and then share it to everybody over gigabit Ethernet connections. So everybody would have a gigabit Ethernet connection into their house from the main feed, as it were, and be able to watch and record what they wanted. Well, everything would be recorded, but watch what they wanted. And if a TV show is available to be downloaded to an iPad or to an iPhone, they just press a button. It downloads at a gigabit a second from the central server, and anybody can watch it. And this is something that could be possible. Now, whether the content providers would be happy with it or not, I don't know. But given that this is media that's being streamed free over the air through satellite, or if enough providers come out and release digital TV here in Ireland through that, it could be an interesting idea that you would have multiple tuners recording multiple shows, dumping it to disc and allowing anybody to watch it and record it. It's kind of, in all fairness, it's kind of the way it's done with the torrents on TV shows in the States. Now, they're done as you can't watch it live. If an episode of CSI is currently being recorded, you have to wait until 5-10 minutes after it's finished airing in the States before it pops up on Easy TV or the Pirate Bay or wherever you get your illicit TV shows. And I've the question of, is it actually illegal given that it is streamed over the air with no encryption, with no protection, for free in most cases in the States? So you do have to wonder, is it actually illegal to go and do this? It's not. I consider it to be a grey area. I can't get the TV shows any other way, so that's how I get them. I may have admitted too much there, but that's all I'm gonna say. I don't watch enough TV to make a difference, I suppose, so it doesn't really matter. But this is an interesting idea, and I suppose as a software developer, you do have the questions that you'd like to ask of how much compute power is actually required to record 32 to 40 TV streams at a time. How many machines are required? What kind of bandwidth is required? I remember listening to a .NET Rocks episode where they were talking about the mile wide array, or I can't remember the exact name of it, but it was an array of aerials, an array of satellites that were watching the skies. And they were talking about the amount of data that these things were recording per day. And it was somewhere in the region of 65,000 16 gig iPads would be required. Now, I don't think 32 channels being recorded at a time is going to need that amount of storage. But a 1 hour TV show recorded on a Windows Media Center takes up about 2 gigabytes in standard definition. And it's closer to 6 in high definition. So if you're talking 32 TV channels, and we say half are in high definition and half are in standard high definition, or standard definition, which is about right, you're talking 16 by say 6, which is 16, 6 is 48. So you're talking 48 gigabytes per hour for high definition, and we say a third of that, which is 16 by 2, 32 gig, another 32 gig, so 48 and 32, I'm driving as I'm thinking, so, and there's some idiot in a car beside me who's not completely sure what he's doing, I don't think, so sorry about this, as I do maths for the slightly mentally, mentally distracted. You thought I was going to say something else, but no. Anyway, 48 and 16 is 64. Why was that so hard? Is it 64? 48 and 16. Yeah, 64. Okay, so you're talking 64 gig an hour of storage, which is a gigabyte a minute. Over the course of a day is a lot. 64 by, yeah, it's going to be a lot. You're talking, it's a gigabyte a minute. There's about 1800 minutes in a day. So it's 1.8 terabytes, give or take. 1.8 to 2 terabytes per day recorded. So once you go off and start adding, once you're recording that amount of data and adding 2 terabytes of data, 2 terabytes of raw data to a system each day, and then have to go off and recode them as close to live or as close to real time as possible, things get complicated. And I'm going to leave it on that note because I've just arrived home. Thanks for listening. If you have any suggestions, questions, anything else like that, drop me an email, tiernan@tiernanotool.ie. The podcast is a podcast at podcast.tiernanotool.ie. And if you have any suggestions or anything like that, drop them onto the podcast site. And with that, I'm going to say goodnight and have a good one. I'll talk to you the next time I do one of these. Hopefully it won't be too long. Again, thanks for listening. Bye now.